Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, March 26th.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. There's only one quick announcement before we begin, which is that our midweek Lenten soup supper and midweek worship service will be here this week. Dinner will be at 6 and service will be at 7, and we are hosting this week. There has been a sign-up sheet out, and you can the last place I saw it was over in the it's in the back now, and it should be just about full, but you can double check it in case there's any open spaces left. Are there any other announcements this morning? If not, I would ask you to rise as we begin with our gathering hymn, hymn 104. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not kill.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. I am sorry for them and repent of them. Pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave me.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with hymn number 98.
The first lesson this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Samuel anointed David even though he was the eighth oldest son of Jesse, and did not match his brothers in height or in physical characteristics. With the anointing came the endowment with the Spirit of the Lord, designating David as the Lord's chosen successor to Saul. And the reading. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammu pass by, and he said, "Neither had the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. We'll read in unison Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. "Because we now live in the divine light that is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ, so that our activity is truly pleasing to God." And the reading. "Once you were darkness, but now in the light, now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what should people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the ninth gospel, ninth chapter. This morning you may be seated for the gospel reading. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I have come into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about what Pastor just read to us. But before we start, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you know what it means to be blind? You cannot see. All right. What is a sinner? Lane?
Someone who disobeys.
Okay. Somebody that disobeys God's rules. Well, in our story today, those two things are very, very important. There was a man who was born blind. Now that means he could not see. And Jesus and his disciples were walking past this man one day, and I got to back up a little bit. The people in Jesus' day also had a very strong belief. Their belief was that if somebody could not see, or they couldn't use their hands, or maybe they couldn't walk, they had sinned. There was something that they had done, and God was punishing them. Now, we do not believe that, and there was someone else that did not believe that. Who was it? Jesus. Jesus was trying to tell them, no, that is not the case. So when the disciple asked Jesus, who was it that sinned, Jesus said, not his mom, not his dad, no one. I'm going to show you the power and the almightiness of God through this man. So Jesus healed him. Now, how do you think the people who saw this happen felt? If you saw something really wonderful happen, how would you feel? Look, show me. How would you feel? Yay! Come on, clap. Okay? Well, that's how these people felt. And they were so excited. All of a sudden, they remembered they had another rule. And the rule was that if somebody was healed, now they could see, now they could walk, they had to go to the temple and they had to show the church leaders. So that's what they did. They took him to the church and they said, this man was blind, now he can see. And the leaders were very suspicious. And they stood there and they said, and how did this happen? So the man explained and they said, it's a trick. It's a trick. We don't believe you. And the man said, no, it really happened. So the leaders decided, well, we got to get more information here. Let's call mom and dad. So they called the mom and dad of the blind man. And they said, was he blind? Is this your son? And they said, yes, he was born blind. But we weren't there. We didn't see it happen. So we don't know. So they asked the man again. And this time the man got very, very strong, very, very firm in his belief. And he said, Jesus of Nazareth did it. Jesus healed me. And only someone from God could do that. And the men, or the church leaders, still would not accept that. So they threw him out. And Jesus came back and told the man he had done right. He had done the right thing. Now, I want to ask you something. Who do you think the real sinner in this story might be? The man who was blind? The parents? Or the people who would not believe in Jesus? Very good. Let us pray. Pray with me. Dear Lord God, thank you for helping the blind man see so that we can see your power. Amen. Okay, you can go back. And our chime ringers have a piece for us this morning.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We look at light in different ways, and it affects us in different ways from time to time. Sometimes a light is very warm and inviting, such as on a cold day, that patch of sunshine that comes streaming through the windows is a nice place to sit, or to gather around a campfire at night, or to look at the church at night when it is lit up from the inside. It is a warm and inviting place to see that light streaming through those stained glass windows. At other times, we may want to modify the light a little bit, such as on a bright day, we put a hat on, or we put sunglasses on, or we put that visor down on the car to help block that sun so we don't have to look directly at the sun. At other times, we want to hide from the light, such as when we're driving down the road at night and the person coming towards us has the bright lights on and does not dim them. That light is very irritating and we don't want to look at it. Or when we're asleep in bed and all of a sudden somebody turns that light on, what do? You say, "Turn that irreverent light off." Or you may use shorter words even. And then you pull those covers over your head. Light affects us in different ways. And as we look at this gospel story this morning too, we see different characters here in this story, and that they react in different ways to the light of Jesus. Jesus says here in this gospel lesson, I am the light of the world, the way that shines the way. First ones up in this story are the disciples. And actually, the light just, so to speak, just goes over their heads. They don't see it. They don't see the light because they're gathered together in that marketplace in the temple courtyard. And they see the beggars there. And one particular stands out. But they don't see that person as a person. They don't see the man born blind as a person. Rather, they want to get into some kind of theological discussion, and so they ask Jesus, Jesus, who sinned? This man's parents? Or is he suffering because of his sins? And as Beverly explained, that was a thought in that time, because if somebody had major ailments in particular, that meant basically that they were cursed, that they were not blessed by God, that they had to suffer because of some sins that they had done or that their parents had done. They did not see the light of God in that man. But Jesus looks at things differently. He saw that person as a person. He saw that person as a person created by God, as another living human being. And not just a sinner, not just an outcast, not just decoration on the road. But Jesus saw him as a person. He saw the potential in there. Many of us too suffer from ailments. We're not perfect. We are sinners ourselves. We're flawed. We're cracked. We're bent. We leak. And part of that is mainly because of accidents or our age or just simply because of who we are and the circumstances that we are in. We are not perfect. There is something wrong with each and every one of us because of the sin in the world. But Jesus sees the light in that man. The disciples do not see that. They have preconceptions of their own, and it blocks them. But Jesus sees the light in that person and recognizes it. For the Pharisees here in this story, they too saw the light, but they refused to see it. They blocked it out, just like throwing the covers over the top of your head. At first, when they saw that the blind man had received his sight and that Jesus healed him, that light of Christ shining through him, they were a bit confused because this did happen on the Sabbath. They were confused about how could this happen, because only something like this could happen from God, right? But at the same time, this Jesus didn't obey the laws of God or what they understood to be the laws of God. Rather, it was just the codes or the moral standards that they had put around the laws in order not to break them. But these man-made laws were broken by Jesus. And so they couldn't understand it. They were confused. How can a sinner do an act of God? And so rather than actually, they tried to find out by several interviews with the man born blind, with his parents, with bystanders, and they came to the conclusion that no, this could not have happened. It just could not have happened. And they refused to believe it. They refused to see the light of God. Sometimes for us then too, we know that the light of God is there. We don't understand it. We don't know why God has this plan for us or why these things are happening. And so we just refuse to see it. We refuse to recognize it. We refuse to see that light of God is there in our own life. And we go our own way and we make our own choices. And we end up in darkness. The parents, too, were somewhat mixed. It was more of they wanted to moderate that life. They knew that was their son who had been healed, that he had been born blind. They were not there. They were not present when they saw it, so they had an out. They were worried because if they sided with Jesus, if they admitted that they see that light of God through Jesus Christ, then they may have been booted out of the synagogue. That was a ruling that the leaders had made, is that anybody who calls this man Messiah or follows him will be kicked out of the synagogue. And that wasn't only just a matter of being kicked out of church. Rather, it was being kicked out of society. There was more implications to it, which means that they themselves would become outcasts. People wouldn't want to deal with them. They would lose friends. Maybe even their families would snuff them. They lost everything, or they thought that they would lose everything if they recognized publicly that light of Christ. For times, for us too, it's hard sometimes to admit that we see that light of Christ, that we are faithful Christians. Sometimes we're put in situations where we have to make decisions. And do we let other people know that we're Christians, or do we kind of hide it? Do we not admit to it? Do not want to stand out? We don't want to face the repercussions if other people know that we are Christians. And so we try to moderate it and try to ignore it, hoping that the problem will go away. And then too, for the man born blind, and it is very interesting what the light of God can do for a person. Here was a man who was born blind. He could not see at all his whole lifetime. You can imagine the struggles that he had gone through as he was growing up. You can imagine the struggles that his parents were going through too, trying to raise a child who is born blind. And then all of a sudden, what a great gift that he received, that he could receive his physical sight once again. All the things that we take for granted, to see a bird in flight, to see the colors of the flowers, to see the shape of a tree, to see the expressions on other people's faces, to see the world around you, to be able to walk and not have to worry about stumbling. We take all these things for granted, but for someone who has been blind, or who has been born blind, or who has suffered blindness, knows what that man has gone through and what a gift that he received from Jesus Christ. He received that gift of sight. But even more important than receiving being healed physically, he was restored spiritually as well. It's interesting in the story of how his faith grows. When he first mentions Jesus, when he was asked, "Who did this to you?" he said, "The man called Jesus." As the story progresses and as he is grilled, his faith becomes stronger. He calls him a prophet next. And then later he calls him Lord. And then he also says at the end of the story that he believes that this is the Son of God. His faith increases as he continues to shine in that light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. As he continues to believe, and as his faith is challenged, he continues to grow in that faith. He sees Jesus as the light of the world. We too look at Jesus as the light of the world as well. And particularly now during this time of Lent, as we see the light of Christ, sometimes we have different reactions to that. Sometimes it's kind of hard to see the light of Christ because the light shines on everything. It shines on the good things, but it also shines upon our faults. And during this time of Lent, that is one time to look at our faults, to look at our sins, and to recognize then as we see our sins that we are truly in need of a Savior, that we cannot fix this ourselves, that we need help. And so that light shines on that, and it leads us back to the light of Christ. Christ shines on us in ways that help to increase our faith as we recognize that light, as we see that light, and as we use that light. Christ helps us grow into that faith. Christ is the light of the world. Amen. We sing our hymn for the day, number 296.
Please rise as we confess our faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with our offering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, this week we remember you called your servant Oscar Romero to be a voice for the voiceless poor and to give his life as a seed of freedom and a sign of hope. Grant that, inspired by his sacrifice and the example of the martyrs of El Salvador, we may, without fear or favor, witness to you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful Lord, be with all those who are suffering or are in pain, those who are struggling in body, mind, or spirit, especially Catherine, Troy, Thomas, Marge, and the family of Shane Turner. Console and comfort them and work in them so that they may know of your presence in their lives. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for all those who work with our youth in our Sunday school program. We ask for your blessing and guidance on those who dedicate their time and effort to raising up the next generations of faithful believers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Father, we ask your blessing on the persecuted church throughout the world. Give them hope and strength when they are blasphemed and attacked. We pray for their safety and security in the coming days as we all prepare to celebrate the resurrection of your Son. We pray for the days when they will be able to worship you in peace and safety. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour your grace into our hearts, O Lord, that we who have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, announced by an angel, may by his cross and passion be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give to you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace.
Amen.
And may God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 315. as you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining us this morning for our worship service from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. We hope that you will tune in again next Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and we invite you to come worship with us whenever you can. We have a Saturday evening worship service in our chapel at 6 p.m., and on Sunday morning we have our worship service in our sanctuary at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school classes for all ages at 10:15.